News Radio Pensacola app has just been updated with a fresh new look. Now it's easier than ever to stay connected with our community. Check the weather. Get instant access to local news stores.
The city appears to be ready to
engaging podcasts and various streaming options. All at your fingertips. Whether you're at home, on the go, or anywhere in between, our app keeps you informed and engaged. Download the updated News Radio Pensacola app today. From News Radio 92.3. Informative. Local. Dependable. Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
I wanted to clarify something that you had said on Sunday regarding the boat strikes near Venezuela. You had said that you didn't know if the second strike on that one boat had happened, but you wouldn't have wanted it. Now that your administration has acknowledged that it happened, do you support that second strike? And Mr. Secretary, I wanted to clarify something you had said in an interview back in September, I believe on Fox News. You said that you had watched that strike live on television. In real time, did you know that there were survivors after the initial strike?
Good question. It came at the 2-hour and 20-minute mark-ish of the cabinet meeting yesterday. I didn't catch who was actually asking the question, but fair questions, of course, surrounding the drug boat strike, in particular that very first one, where the allegation is A, that the boat was turning around, B, that they struck first, waited, and struck and killed the two survivors that were in the water, which under the rules of war would not be allowed. Even the Pentagon's own documents say that. But there's been a lot of controversy about this. What did Pete Hegseth know? When did he know it? What did he say? Did he order the strike? Was he out of the room? These are all the things that came up yesterday. President Trump began the answers.
Well, look, all I know is this. Every boat that you see get blown up, we save 25,000 on average lives. 25,000 lives.
Yeah, okay. If what he means is there's enough fentanyl on board to kill a whole lot of people, I mean, it's actually more than that. If what he means is we actually save those lives, well, you do the math on that. That's an exaggeration. But do we save a lot of lives by destroying drugs in the boats? I mean, yeah, that's indisputable.
They've been sending enough of this horrible fentanyl and other things like cocaine and other things. But fentanyl right now is the leader of the pack to kill our entire nation. Because a little speck on the head of a pin can kill somebody. It's very dangerous stuff. I know so many people where their sons were drug addicts. They had one little sample, and they died. They died. They couldn't believe it.
Yeah, that's real. We talk about this all the time.
As far as the attack is concerned, I still haven't gotten a lot of information because I rely on Pete. But to me, it was an attack. It wasn't one strike, two strikes, three strikes. Somebody asked me a question about the second strike. I didn't know about the second strike. I didn't know anything about people. I wasn't involved in it. I knew they took out a boat.
All right, so he's completely distancing himself from all of this, saying that that's up to Pete to figure out.
I can say this. I want those boats taken out. And if we have to, we'll attack on land also, just like we attack on sea. And there's very little coming in by sea. I think we've knocked out over 90% of it. There's very little, and I understand that. There's very little. We're saving hundreds of thousands of lives with those pinpoint attacks. It's an amazing thing.
I would say tens of thousands is a much more fair or even thousands of lives. But, you know, the president, of course, almost everything he says is an exaggeration. It's not that there's no truth in it. It's just that it's not quite as statistically significant as he means.
But I would say this. They had a strike. I hear the gentleman that was in charge of that is extraordinary. He's an extraordinary person.
General Bradley.
Pete speak about him. But Pete was satisfied. Pete didn't know about second attack having to do with two people. I guess Pete would have to speak to it.
All right. So we're, of course, going to hear from Pete Hegseth here. And you've heard some of the clips. And I'm just a big believer in letting people speak at length, you know, hear them, what they actually say. So here are the comments from the Secretary of War yesterday during the cabinet meeting.
You got to start with the baseline, which Marco laid out. Everybody's laid out. We've got 20 million people invading our country over 4 years. We don't know where they're coming from. That includes Trende Aragua and cartels and violent criminals. They bring drugs. And you mentioned it, Mr. President, poisoning and intentional poisoning of the American people, killing hundreds of thousands of Americans.
Okay, in the context of what they're trying to do overall is how you start, and fair, good framing.
So the president had the courage to designate these cartels as designated terrorist organizations. Now, a number of us here served in the military and spent 20 years fighting terrorists like Al-Qaeda and ISIS. on the other side of the world. How do you treat Al-Qaeda and ISIS? Do you arrest them and treat them, pat them on the head and say, don't do that again? Or do you end the problem directly by taking a lethal, kinetic approach? And that's the way President Trump has authorized the War Department to look at these cartels.
So their argument is this is no different than dealing with ISIS or Al-Qaeda. The difference, of course, is that the drugs that come in do not kill everybody. And I think you can have a, you know, a good discussion about whether they're intended to kill or not. But they are consumed voluntarily, you know, in most cases. And so that's different than somebody planting a bomb or an IED or bringing a gun in. And so imminent threat caused by somebody carrying a weapon of war versus a boat carrying pharmaceuticals that will also kill a lot of people who overdose on them. They're not the same thing. But what Hegseth is saying is that you've got to treat them the same exact way. And look, in fairness to their side, you know, it's a far more significant source of death than even Al-Qaeda or, you know, ISIS would have been. So, you know, the numbers are on their side in terms of taking this seriously.
Everybody.
Actually, let me get PJ with Traffic on the Fives. We'll come back to this in a second. PJ?
Traffic's brought to you by Knox Pest Control. Their family serving your family since 1929. For information on a free pest or termite quote, visit KnoxPest.com. Still working that crash, North Avis Highway at Johnson Avenue. No roadblock associated with that. Also, vehicle crash I-10 westbound near Avalon. They're saying the roadway's clear. Back to you.
Thanks so much, PJ. So continuing the conversation from yesterday's cabinet meeting, this is Pete Hegseth answering the questions about what he knew, when he knew it, with the first drug boat strike and giving framing for the first part, and then he's going to go on.
I wish everybody could be in the room watching our professionals like Mitch Bradley, Admiral Mitch Bradley, and others at JSOC and SOCOM and other commanders, the deliberative process, the detail, the rigorous, the intel, the legal, the evidence-based way that we're able to, with sources and methods that we can't reveal here, that make sure that every one of those drug boats is tied to a designated terrorist organization. We know who's on it, what they're doing, what they're carrying. All these white bales are not Christmas gifts from Santa. This is drugs running on four-motor fast boats or submarines that we've also struck. No one's fishing on a submarine. And I have empowered them to make that call.
Okay, so the sympathetic analysis here is all of that's great, but you should present it to Congress. If the evidence is so clear, the evidence should be clear and compelling to anybody, including Congress, who's supposed to exercise oversight. And that's what I've been asking for weeks, and many in Congress have been asking for. The second part is, if you read this uncharitably, it starts to sound a little bit like deflection, like bluster, like how dare you question the professionalism of these people? How dare you question? You don't know what's going on in the room, which may well be true. But also, based on some of his other answers, starts to seem like more of a PR smokescreen than a genuine answer to the question. I'm going to give him some charity on this one, but let's continue.
The first couple of strikes, as you would, as any leader would want, you want to own that responsibility. So I said, I'm going to be the one to make the call after getting all the information and make sure it's the right strike. That was September 2nd. There's a lot of intelligence that goes into that, building that case and understanding that. A lot of people providing information. I watched that first strike live. As you can imagine, at the Department of War, we got a lot of things to do. So I didn't stick around for the hour and 2 hours, whatever, where all the sensitive site exploitation digitally occurs. So I moved on to my next meeting. A couple of hours later, I learned that that commander had made the, which he had the complete authority to do, and by the way, Admiral Bradley made the correct decision to ultimately sink the boat and eliminate the threat. He sunk the boat, and eliminated the threat. And it was the right call. We have his back. And the American people are safer because narco-terrorists know you can't bring drugs through the water and eventually on land if necessary
to
the American people. We will eliminate that threat, and we're proud to do it.
Man, this just sounds like PR to me. I would love to believe him, but all of these things in my mind don't quite add up right. Like, for example, he throws out this, well, you know, all of the site inspection work and all the sort of after-action forensics that they would do and, you know, getting pieces of wreckage and doing analysis and gathering information, whatever. Okay. I mean, I'm not going to stick around for that. I'm busy. You know, I'm busy at the Pentagon. We had a lot of things to do. Yeah, okay, so you left the room. Was there actually a second strike subsequently ordered? If it was against people that were in the water, that is, as everybody has said, that looks to be directly in violation of the rules of war. And you're telling me that the commanding officer didn't ask you about that, didn't bring that up to you, or felt so justified by the evidence of taking that strike, and then he kind of mashes together this whole taking out the boat, taking out the people thing. He's just not being all that clear. Remember, Pete is a very gifted speaker. He's a very smart guy. You know, he's a talk. You know, he's a talk host. It sounds to me, as a fellow talk host, as somebody who understands persuasion and logic and rhetoric, if you talk fast enough and say enough interesting things and deflect enough ways, people kind of stop asking questions. Well, I'm not stopping asking questions. That's what this sounds like to me. And even though he's completely saying he's got the back of General Bradley, there's also a part of like, well, it was on General Bradley. You know, I wasn't really even in the room. Concerning. Here goes. This is the key one. This is the one that's been getting a lot of airtime. I mean, that one has been gets parts of that has been getting a lot of airtime. Here's the one that's really been getting a lot of the attention.
So you didn't see any survivors, to be clear, after that first strike?
You didn't see any survivors after the first attack. That's what he's asking. Specifically, did you see whether there were survivors in the water afterwards, which is the relevant question for the second strike?
I did not personally see survivors, but I stand because the thing was on fire. It was exploded in fire and smoke. You can't see anything. You got digital. This is called the fog of war. This is what you and the press don't understand.
Okay. Fog of war under exigent circumstances or things that are happening chaotically all of a sudden at a time is one thing, right? Okay. But the question is, was there a second strike? Why was the second strike ordered? Did they see survivors in the water before the second strike was ordered? Because you can't simultaneously say that it was justified to kill them because they were still combatants or a threat and also claim that the fog of war prevented you from even knowing that there were survivors in the water. I'm not sure what fog of war covers in this case. You know, is it the smoke screen from the burning boat? He's trying to say, well, this is the fog. I don't know. Were they unclear about what they were shooting into, in which case you don't shoot typically? What was the point of the second strike? You'd have to have a reason for the second strike. Well, to finish the job. Well, what job needed to be finished? What was the evidence that the first strike didn't do it? To me, it sounds like deflection and avoidance and bluster and say a lot of things and try to turn the argument back on your accusers and say, well, you don't know anything. You're just journalists. You don't know anything. You weren't in the room. You don't know anything. How dare you attack their professionalism? That's how it sounds to me. I know that's an uncharitable reading, but I'm trying to be fair based on everything that I'm hearing them say. And this doesn't. It's not quite there for me, which is why I've said we need to have an investigation. I'm sure there will be.
You sit in your air-conditioned offices or up on Capitol Hill and you nitpick and you plant fake stories in the Washington Post about kill everybody, phrases on anonymous sources not based in anything, not based in any truth at all. And then you want to throw out really irresponsible terms about American heroes, about the judgment that they made. I wrote a whole book on this topic because of what politicians and the press does to warfighters.
And that's true, and that's a real concern, and rules of engagement that hamper the ability to do the job properly and second-guessing and Monday morning quarterbacking and sometimes stories that are inaccurate or, you know, politically agree with all of that. Agree with all of that. The question is whether that's true here, because what are the facts in this case?
President Trump has empowered commanders to do what is necessary, which is dark and difficult things in the dead of night on behalf of the American people. We support them. And we will stop the poisoning of the American people.
It's a little Colonel Jessup, but, you know, it's kind of what it sounds like, right? You know, you want me on that wall. You need me on that wall. You need people doing dark and dirty things in the middle of the night. Well, okay. Dark and difficult things kind of implies things you don't want to know too much about. And this is a case where we do want to know, and that's the point. Was it legal or not?
Mr. Secretary, on the second strike, you said it happened more than an hour after the first. Did I hear it correctly?
I didn't tell you the exact amount of time.
Minutes or you went out of the room, is what you're saying.
You were out of the room, is what you're saying.
Minutes or you went out of the room, is what you're saying.
I already stated my answer quite clearly.
I already said what I want to say about this. So, you know, Trump is going to kind of reframe at the end of this and talk about all the lies being said and the importance of saving it. And he follows up with I don't know if you don't like this kind of language. It's normal for President Trump. It's not an FCC violation.
But he also allowed drugs to come in at record numbers.
Talking about Biden.
And hundreds of thousands of people a year died. And we're taking those son of a bitches out. Yeah.
And that's, I think, what a lot of people want is they want somebody to do something. That's why this is, you know, when it was just the strikes against the narco boats, it was one thing. And it seemed kind of like a philosophical question. You know, or maybe a legal question. When it's a second strike against apparently people in the water who are non-combatants in violation of what looks like the rules of war, Now it's something people are taking much more seriously. I'm actually with Rand Paul. I think the original strikes have problems, and you need better justification and an authorization for the use of military force, at the least. Because we're not at war. We're not at declared war. And, you know, I don't know where the justification to take lethal action actually comes from in this case. So lots of questions remain. This, you know, I was glad he answered the questions, but I don't feel like it really solved a lot of the problems. And, of course, the general is going to be talking to Congress tomorrow. So I'm not sure if that's going to be an open or closed testimony. Of course, I would love to hear it, but I don't know whether it's going to be open or not. 725 on News Radio 92.3. Your thoughts, 437-1620. Feel free to disagree with me, as always. Your disagreements are welcome. I read them on the air. I mean, not everyone. I read, you know, some of all the comments, not necessarily all of them. But, I, you know, if it's interesting, I'll share it on the air. I have no problem with people disagreeing with me. PJ's got traffic on the fives. PJ?
Thanks, Andrew. Pine Forest seeing some minor delays between 9 Mile and I-110. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
Here's today's Strength for Life with your host, Pastor James C. Johnson.
Judge not that ye be not judged. Consider with me what that really means. That phrase is not a command against making judgments, but in contrast, Matthew 7, 1 through 6 is a command to judge properly. It's so easy to find fault in others, but the first rule of proper judgment is to consider and address your own faults. The second rule is to be sure that your judgments are clear and not clouded by a self-serving carnal agenda. Thirdly, don't waste your judgments on people who won't value them. For example, if you have a very valuable pearl necklace and you cast it into a pig pen, that would be foolish because the pigs don't understand the worth of the pearls. In the same way, you should be cautious with where you cast your valuable Bible-based judgments. So judge wisely.
That was James C. Johnson. He serves as the pastor of North Stone Baptist Church in Pensacola, Florida. For more Strength for Life, please visit our website, strengthforlife.church.
Hey, Escambia. Today, ECUA is talking trash.
Specifically, bulk waste.
July 1st, 2023, bulk service changed to call for pickup. Schedule a pickup by calling the ECUA customer service department anytime before 2 p.m. on the day prior to your normal pickup day. Bulk pickup is still included at no additional charge. Schedule a free bulk waste or special pickup for construction debris for an additional fee. Call customer service at 850-476-0480. More information at ecua.fl.gov.
Know what to throw, 850.
Hi, I'm Terrence A. Gross. As many of you know, I am a local board-certified personal injury lawyer, and I have practiced in this community for almost 40 years. Our law firm handles only people that have been injured due to the negligence of another. Join me this Wednesday at 10:30 on Pep Talk as we discuss all aspects of personal injury law.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
The Dave Ramsey Show, weeknight 7 to 10 before WEAR-TV News on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Yeah! I stole the baby! I stole the baby!
Kevin Pollak as the brownie in Willow is one of the best parts of that movie, honestly. They make that movie. All right, I got a couple of texts in here. I disagree with your take on this, my friend. I agree with the utter and complete take out of the drug traffickers. Second strike doesn't bother me. Somebody else says, remember after World War II, the Japanese who would strafe boats after they shot them down and kill all in the water were tried and convicted on that. Somebody says military should show the gun camera video so we can see what really happened and see the evidence, you know, all the full video, not just the piece of it. Somebody else says, Andrew, you keep calling him a general. He was an admiral. I'm sorry. You're right. He was a former SEAL. So my fault. I should have corrected that. 437-1624. And by the way, let me be clear. I am not saying they're wrong. I'm saying I have questions. I think Congress has oversight responsibility. I don't think they have been given enough. Congress has not been consulted enough. And here are the things that I want to see done differently. I don't even know that this was wrong, that the second strike was wrong. I just want to know more, and I want to hear the justification. Because it looks really wrong. But I, like many times, I'm waiting on judgment. Because, you know, I prefer to wait until I have enough facts where I feel comfortable saying, no, that's wrong. Or, oh, no, that's justified. I get it. 7:30 on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. David, you have a quick headline for us before we go to Fox?
I sure do. There's new report out that says North Dakota has the worst drivers in the U.S. This report's out from the Lending Tree. shows North Dakota with 64 incidents per 1,000 drivers. New Jersey with the second worst. And Florida did not make the list.
Texas, Illinois, D.C. Come on now.
News. I'm CJ Papa. President Trump says very little drugs are reaching the U.S. since the U.S. strikes on boats he claims are filled with narcotics began.
We're saving hundreds of thousands of lives with those pinpoint attacks.
The president, during Tuesday's cabinet meeting, Fox's Aisha Hosni has more on that one bombing from the White House.
The president and his Secretary of War are denying they knew anything about this order to kill all survivors back in September. A U.S. official tells Fox News that Admiral Bradley did that to sink the vessel because it could have threatened other ships or even allowed survivors to then call for backup. So it was a, so to speak, self-defense move here.
Secretary Hegseth says he supports Admiral Bradley's decision. Buying frenzy on Cyber Monday, $14.25 billion in online purchases, setting a new record, that from Adobe Analytics. America is listening to Fox News.
Good morning. It's 7:31 at News Radio 92.3. We've got 39 degrees right now. Cloudy skies. We've got our forecast with Brooke Richardson. That's on the way here in just a few minutes. The Pensacola Beach Lighted Boat Parade has been pushed back a week due to rain. That parade was scheduled here this Friday. It's now being pushed to Friday, December 12th. That'll be at 6:30 p.m. The boats will sail from the Sabine Marina through the Santa Rosa Sound past the boardwalk after the parade. Fireworks are scheduled, and Santa will be on hand to greet kids at the Quiet Water Shell. The Pensacola Beach Chamber Facebook page will have updates on that. The Northwest Florida Management District wants $25 million from the state to clean up local waterways. The agency's identified problem areas in seven watersheds across the region. That includes 11 Mile Creek in Perdido Bay and Carpenter Creek and Bayou Tahar in Pensacola Bay. Program officials say smaller projects are easier to manage. The district's board will vote on the plan December 10th. If it's approved, officials will ask lawmakers for the money when the legislature meets in January. Their goal is annual funding to keep the restoration work underway. Well, Thanksgiving was another busy travel weekend at Pensacola International Airport. Officials say there were 62,000 passengers between last Tuesday and Sunday, which is roughly the same as the 2024 Thanksgiving travel season. Good news for those travelers.
No significant issues other than the issue with one of the non-passenger planes blocking up traffic there on Wednesday of Thanksgiving. So we were able to get that resolved as quickly as possible.
Mayor D.C. Reeves there. Now, this weekend, the airport is gearing up for the annual Runway 5K. The mayor says it's the one day of the year that people are allowed on the runway. For more information, check out flypensacola.com. Investigators are searching for two masked suspects in a home invasion robbery in Okaloosa County. That happened on Monday morning on Lang Road near Fort Walton Beach. The suspects reportedly broke through a sliding glass door and entered a home armed with guns. One of the victims was hit with a firearm during the robbery. The intruders demanded property and fled the scene. Well, speed cameras could be coming to Gulf Breeze school zones next year. Their city council approved the first reading of an ordinance for a speed camera program. They've got a public hearing scheduled next month. City officials say research shows a big decrease in violations in other cities that have installed these.
There was a study that also, you know, was shared last night by Chief Hawthorne that talked about, you know, we're seeing a significant reduction where these programs are being adopted of up to 80%.
Yeah.
And so that's encouraging.
And the cameras would catch drivers exceeding the speed limit by more than 10 miles per hour. Tickets are $100 and would not include points on your driver's license. Well, the state is trying to entice more people to work for the Department of Corrections. The FDC announcing yesterday they're now offering $5,000 hiring bonuses at 15 correctional institutions across the state. But the Santa Rosa Correctional Institution in Milton is not included in that list. The Milton facility does have a $1,000 hiring bonus. The starting pay for correctional officers is $22 an hour. Find out more at fdc.myflorida.com. 7:35 at News Radio. Let's get a look at our traffic on the fives with PJ.
Traffic brought to you by Apple Market, the biggest little grocery store on the Gulf Coast. Fresh foods, local charm, and friendly faces. Apple Market, 1021 Scenic Highway, Pensacola. Looks like there's a vehicle crash Sorrento Road at Inner Rarity. They're saying the roadway is clear. Pine Forest seeing some minor delays between 9 Mile and I-10. And Gulf Beach Highway, not showing any delays. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
Starting off chilly this morning in the 30s with temperatures getting into the 50s for your afternoon. Mostly sunny skies. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 45. Going into Thursday, 70% chance of rain, high near 58. Thursday night, temperatures dropping near 54. Keeping rain chances high on Friday, 80% chance of rain, high near 63. And Friday night, temperatures dropping near 49. Stay connected, Channel 3 News First Warning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV Weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke. 36 degrees right now. Cloudy skies. We'll get our next news at 8 o'clock and breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Semiconductor company Marvell has announced that it will acquire Celestial AI for at least $3.25 billion in cash and stock. The purchase price could increase to $5.5 billion if Celestial hits revenue milestones. The deal is an aggressive move for Marvell to acquire complementary technology to its semiconductor networking business. Trump Media reached what it called an amicable settlement of a legal dispute with the co-founders of the social media company. Trump Media did not provide details of that settlement with United Atlantic Ventures, the partnership of the co-founders Andy Litinsky and Wes Moss. American Eagle beat Wall Street's expectations on the top and bottom lines for its fiscal third quarter. The apparel company, which recently partnered with Sydney Sweeney and Travis Kelce, is expecting comparable sales to grow between 8 and 9% during its holiday quarter. Futures are slightly higher. Tuesday, the Dow Industrials gained 185, the NASDAQ up 137, the S&P 500 up 16. That's your money now.
You take care of your car, right? So why not give your auto loan some TLC? Refinance an existing loan from another institution with Pinair Credit Union and lower your interest rate by up to 2%. Plus, you can skip payments for the first 90 days. In addition to a better rate, you'll enjoy convenient banking and a friendly local team always ready to help. Learn more at Pinair.org/auto-refi. That's Pinair.org/auto-refi. All loans are subject to approval. Offer valid on loan application submitted between October 1st and December 31st, 2025 only. Call toll-free 1-877-4-PINAIR for complete details.
Tune in to Retire Right Radio, hosted by Roberts Wealth Management, Sundays at 1 with Paul Roberts. Find out how their certified advisors can help you enjoy your retirement income. Financial security is about more than investments. Roberts Wealth can help you live your values and trust your future planning every step of the way. Don't miss Retire Right Radio, hosted by Roberts Wealth Management, this Sunday at 1 p.m.
Investment advisory services offered by Foundations Investment Advisor Services, LLC, SEC. Registered advisors.
If you have an HD radio in your car, you can listen to News Radio 92.3 from Fort Walton Beach all the way to the Mississippi line.
You heard me right. Here's how.
Tune to 98.7, wait a few seconds until you see the HD signal displayed, then turn the radio up two clicks to HD3. Then you can listen to Andrew McKay, Pet Talk with Meg, Marpie Van Camp and Robbins, and Petscola right now, all over the Gulf Coast. It's News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
I know the music is a little different, but it's okay because we're bringing on a different person from Mayor D.C. Reeves. Instead today, we've got Pensacola City Administrator David Stafford with us, former supervisor of elections. And then, you know, he left to do some work with CISA, the Internet Security Agency for the United States. And now he is back as the Pensacola City Administrator. David, been a while. Welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News.
Hey, thanks. Thanks. Love that bumper music. Yeah. If you haven't seen it, one of my favorite clips is the Foo Fighters playing at Wembley Stadium, and Dave Grohl gets behind the drum kit and brings out John Paul Jones and Jimmy Page on bass and guitar. Respect. And the capper was Taylor Hawkins came out from behind the drum kit.
Oh, wow.
The late, great Taylor Hawkins, and he sang. So if you haven't seen that, it's worth it.
I have to go look that up. And you're a drummer yourself is kind of why we did it, because, you know, a little honor where it's due.
I pretend. That's right.
So before we get into talking about city business, let's just do a quick for people who might be interested. What's life been like for David Stafford since he was the supervisor of elections and he no longer has to care about, you know, every hot Tuesday in November?
I will always care about every hot Tuesday in November. Once the election bug bites you, you're election administrator for life. But no, it was great. Almost 20 years in that, and then I had an opportunity to go do some good work with the Department of Homeland Security, and then I did a quick stint at a election technology company, and then this opportunity came about and met with the mayor and my friend Tim Kinsella, talked to them about it and ultimately agreed to, first of all, DC offered me the job, and then I agreed to take it. And it's been a whirlwind ever since. I can tell you, as you know, I'm sure there's almost 900 wonderful folks working day in and day out on behalf of the citizens of the city of Pensacola, doing great work. And so I've spent the first, it's just a little over a month. So we're getting oriented, meeting with all the department directors and going out and, meeting with the, went to all of the fire stations and met with, toward them and met with the good folks that are out there keeping us safe, including right now with the Keep the Wreath Green. Had lots of conversations and went over to the police department. And then in the rest of the city departments, there's a lot going on
and
good people at work every day. So it's a real privilege to be back working, for the city that I was born in, that I love and raised a family and worked. So it's wonderful.
And you've been, what, 3 months? Is that right? 4 months? 2 months? What has it been?
No, just a month.
A month? Oh, brand new. You're a baby.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's talk about some of the things that are on people's minds. As the administrator, you're kind of responsible for everything. I mean, you literally execute the mayor's vision, whatever's been approved by council, and you're accountable to him. And then, of course, all the employees report to you. You're the direct report. The Reimagine Palafox project on track to start in January, right?
Yep, absolutely. January 5th, Monday, January 5th. So it's wrapping up the holiday season and then getting to work with the incentivized completion date of May 24th. So it's going to be a real sprint. I think the initial kickoff meeting happened with all the folks involved. I believe it was earlier this week. And so it is hot and heavy preparation and a lot, as you know, has gone into that project and a lot of good work's being done and it's almost here.
Right. I mean, we're a month and 2 days
exactly
out. So it's right away. So first
right.
question, do we know yet? Do you know, and I understand you may not, but, where is it going to start first? Is it going to start at the ends at Garden and Main Street and then work its way in? Is it all going to just get closed on January 5th and we're, throwing up fences and signs and all the stuff? Like, what's the plan right now?
Yeah, my understanding is the footprint will, that is the kind of the first thing that the footprint will be laid out and the fencing goes up. And then to your point, though, if you followed the discussions, which I know you did,
of course,
the idea was both being able to start at the north end and the south end and then work their way into the middle.
Right.
And then the hope is that as they, go block by block, if they can clear a block to open, they would do that even before the entire project is completed.
Think of two tunnelers on opposite sides of the mountain working their way in and opening the tunnel as
correct.
They go.
Correct.
Okay. And the second question, just kind of a different question, but the bollards, obviously for security and safety, especially after New Orleans, was a big topic of discussion. My understanding is those were not included in the final price and design because of price, but you are asking the legislature to fund those. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. That's my understanding is that it was both the mayor's and the city council's sort of priority list that they've sent to the legislative delegation.
And I'm assuming that the design of what is being done in the first quarter of next year is easily amenable to coming back and installing those after the fact. I mean, the ideal would be to do it at the same time always. But I'm assuming that there's some thought given to, if they do approve this, that installing them later is not going to be, you know, we're not going to have to do this all over again because we're putting bollards in.
That's my understanding.
Okay, perfect. We're talking to David Stafford. He is the Pensacola City Administrator. David, hang on for just a second. We got PJ with traffic on the fives.
Thanks, Andrew. There is a vehicle crash on Renta Road at Inner Rarity. They're saying the roadway is clear. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives. Back to you.
Thanks so much, PJ. Back to David Stafford, Pensacola City Administrator. 1 month on the job and bravely coming on the show, which, of course, I know you for a long time. I know you're very capable. The incident with Michael Kimbrell at Martin Luther King Jr. Plaza and the Pensacola Police Department, you know, I know what the mayor has said, and I know what the police department has said, and I don't want to get into – certainly it's not your domain to get into the issue of, you know, who was in the right or the wrong. But the offer – to have the feeding take place at City Hall or at the Pensacola Police Department parking lot, and that maybe over time there would be a look at the ordinance to see whether this particular space, which is a weird space because it's a park, but it's also a walkway and it's a median, but it's a park, you know, all that kind of stuff. Have any conversations started yet? Have you talked to anybody about either the offer of City Council, the City Hall property, or the possible tweaking to the ordinances related to the use of that space in the future?
Well, the city staff had what was described to me as a productive meeting with Mr. Kimbrell on Monday, and I know there was I think that ultimately everybody wants to find an, as the mayor said, a harmonious resolution to this,
of course,
and I believe that you know, those options, in addition, you know, alternate locations, in addition to offer to what presented was a lease, a rental, excuse me, a park rental agreement that was given to Mr. Kimbrell.
Okay,
to go back to the Foods Not Bombs group and get their input on that. So I guess what I would say is that you know, the conversations continue with the hope that and the expectation that you know, again, using the mayor's words, that a harmonious resolution to this sort of in the short term. And then, you know, as far as a broader discussion, I think that's, you know, I'm sure that would be on the table as far as, you know, if you're talking about the hours and whatnot and locations,
right.
for this activity.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, temporary while the ordinance is what it is and we don't have some kind of an agreement would be the City Hall PPD. Interim would be having an agreement of some sort, and maybe that's the permanent solution anyway, where you'd have, like you say, maybe a rental agreement or whatever, some kind of paper that authorizes the use on these nights. And then, you know, long term, the conversation is, well, what should be the rule at that particular space or any other space? And, you know, that's a much longer conversation. So good to hear that that's ongoing. The graffiti bridge strike was huge news this week. I mean, it's always, I have long said, and you as a Pensacolian can tell me that I'm wrong or maybe I'm on target, but I have long said that though we very much want to fix it, we also very much don't want to fix it. I mean, the citizens, like, we would miss the ability to make fun of and complain, but as a city, we know that having, you know, lots of people destroy their vehicles driving into a railroad bridge is not good for anybody. I do think we'd miss it if it were gone, if it were not happening anymore. But what is the plan right now? The mayor in the press conference on Monday had indicated that maybe in February there was going to actually start to be some kind of work be done on a warning system.
That's my understanding. Well, for first quarter is that that warning system, that early warning system, would be progressing forward. I think it's been kind of a long wind up to get there.
Yeah.
Again, because of all the different parties that are involved. If you think about, you know, you have CSX there, you've got FDOT, you've got the city.
And for people not to forget, but we also have a lot of big boats. I mean, a lot of people using, you know, one of the challenges is, though you don't want them going under the bridge, you do want them being able to access the parking lot and put their boats in the water on the trailer. And that's a problem too. It's a concern anyway.
That's right. That's right. So, but you know, to your point though, as far as that early warning system, you know, my understanding again is that that is progressing forward, and into that early next year.
Okay, very good. You guys have some other stuff coming up, like a food drive you maybe just finished. Is that right?
That's right. That's right. You know, obviously with the, you know, around the holiday, prior to the holidays and with the, at the time the government shut down, you know, which was putting a burden on some of the local food pantries. I mean, it was pretty well publicized. So the mayor's direction, we instituted a kind of a supplementary. The city already does a food drive every year for MANA, but we instituted a supplementary drive at City Hall and a couple other locations, and not only for our own staff to participate, but then we, you know, welcome the public in. And we kind of wrapped that up, and they came and picked up the food and gave us a report that the city employees and others helped donate 430 pounds of donated food to MANA to help restore their shelves, restock their shelves. Absolutely. Yeah, DD does a great job over there. Lots of good folks involved in that process. And also, I do want to mention, if you'll allow me, we've got the airport 5K.
Yes, sir.
Run, the runway 5K at the Pensacola International Airport, and that's happening this Saturday, and that's the 13th annual. And that so as the mayor said, if you want to come and run on the runway and not get arrested, this is the one day that you can out of the year that you can do that. I'm going to be out there. I'm going to try to do my best to actually finish a 5K. It's been a little while since my running days, but it does. It benefits USO Northwest Florida, which supports, of course, our military and their families. And if anybody's interested in registering, just go to runway5k.com.
Well, you know, as I often say, you know, I love running as long as other people are doing it. So that's it's wonderful for you if you enjoy it.
Or if you're being chased, right?
Yeah, well, you know, even then, I'm not a fan. I mean, it's a necessity. It's not an enjoyable. My own personal take is, you know, I've just never seen somebody running and smiling, and that tells me everything I need to know. But, you know, wonderful if people say they love it. That's fine. David Stafford. Oh, I did want to ask just one last quick thing. You know, you said you went around to all the departments and you met a lot of people, which I'm sure was, you know, a huge learning curve for taking on your job. But what was your impression? You know, tell people what their city is like, what their staff is like, what the people who, you know, run the stuff is like.
Oh, I mean, incredible. You know, even though I was, you know, in local government, obviously for 20 years, and yeah, fairly narrow focus, right, yeah, of the elections piece. But you know, you get the broader aspect. But I mean, just the breadth of what goes on in the city. You know, you've got a port, you've got a deep water port, you've got an airport, an international airport. You've got a gas utility, and then all of the rest, you know, police, fire, and just all of the wonderful assets. I tell you, you've got a dedicated group of employees that come to work every day doing their best for the citizens of the city of Pensacola. As you know, you've got a dynamic mayor who's got a good vision for where, you know, where he sees Pensacola. We've got the Strive to Thrive 2035 plan. Strategic plan being implemented. Again, great leadership in the departments, and so I would just say that the city of Pensacola, their citizens have a lot to be proud of. They've got a good dedicated workforce under good leadership that go to work every day to do their best to serve the citizens.
Outstanding. Well, it's good to hear. And I mean, I know it to be true. That's one of the things that whatever criticisms I might have for the electeds, generally speaking, my experience with staff at every level, whether it's Milton or Gulf Breeze or Pensacola or Escambia or Santa Rosa, is staff is pretty universally fantastic. You know, you can't say always, but you can say almost always. So David Stafford, he is the city administrator for the city of Pensacola, on the job for a month. And we're talking to him this morning. David, thanks so much for the time. Thanks for taking the job. And I know we'll talk to you again soon.
Thanks, Andrew.
Absolutely. 7:54 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. If you have a business, you have employees you have to deal with, health insurance, dental, vision, life, disability, HR, payroll, all of that stuff is so much fun. It's like the best thing in the world. It's like you wake up in the morning eager to do it, right? No, probably not, because, you know, you're not weird. But yeah, I'll tell you who is weird in a good way. The folks at Torgerson Consulting, they actually like that stuff. They enjoy it. They understand it. They're good at it. And they've been helping local businesses like yours do it for more than 20 years. Ours also for the last almost 5 years here at News Radio and Cat Country. They've managed our benefits. And I give them a big thumbs up. My wife, who's an industrial engineer and asks hard questions and is, you know, picky about who she endorses. And she endorses. She says they're fantastic. 433-9996. No obligation to have them look over what you're doing and see if there was maybe a way to do it better or cheaper or both. Check them out online at tcbenefitsgroup.com. PJ's got traffic on the fives.
Still working that vehicle crash Sorrento Road at Inner Rarity. They're saying the roadway is clear. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
Hey there, home buyers and sellers. I'm Will.
And I'm Angela.
With Cannell and Company Realty,
your dynamic real estate duo.
We're not just realtors, we're real estate MVPs. With a game plan tailored to your needs, we'll score you the home of your dreams.
Whether it's finding the perfect starter home or selling to upgrade, your goals are our goals, and we'll make sure you come out on top. Angela Sherrill, 850-292-3165.
Will Maven, 850-261-7020 or at willmaven.com.
Running a business is tough, but getting connected shouldn't be. Data Revolution is making it easy with free installation of phones and network upgrades. Whether you're opening a new office or upgrading your current setup, our expert team handles everything fast, reliably, and with zero installation fees. Search Data Revolution today to schedule your free installation and see our over 70 five-star reviews. Data Revolution is helping your business stay connected.
An official message from Medicare.
Couple more minutes and we'll start this month's book club.
You know, I usually love a plot twist, but this year I'm comparing my options during Medicare open enrollment.
You can't assume your current health or drug plan is the best one for you.
And you gotta make sure your drugs are covered. That's important.
So is saving money.
Review all your options at Medicare.gov. Open enrollment ends December 7th. Paid for by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Stream us online at newsradio923.com or download the News Radio Pensacola app.
You need people like me. You need people like me so you can point your fingers and say, that's the bad guy.
Well, he was the bad guy, but he was the protagonist bad guy, right? He's part of that long tradition of American movies in which we celebrate the anti-hero. Anyway, 7:58 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, good morning, gentlemen. The Trump administration has frozen all immigration applications from 19 countries after last week's shooting of two National Guard members in Washington. The pause includes citizenship ceremonies and processes for legal permanent residents that are just on the verge of becoming citizens as well. Homeland Security says it's reviewing all immigration benefits granted during the Biden administration to people from these 19 countries of concern.
Yeah, I was amazed to see that part of this story that, you know, I am not a huge fan of blanket bans. I know the president is. But, you know, the idea that we would not just ban people from coming here, but we would actually stop people who are on the verge of getting their citizenship, like going to a ceremony, like they passed the test and they're ready to go. And, you know, they say, no, not yet. And of course, no, not yet on what's called a permanent ban right now is how long do they have to wait? And does that mean they won't get their citizenship? I mean, that's the question they're going to be asking, right? So
Absolutely.
Anyway,
a lot of questions.
Wild implications of this. Go on.
And if you're traveling north at all, there's an Arctic front bringing frigid below zero temperatures to the entire central U.S. this week. It's a another one of these.
What's it called?
Another one of these keywords here. A polar vortex.
Yes.
All the way from the
big scary
north
words.
Pole.
Woo.
So there's that. Don't go north, I guess, is the key there.
Well, I mean, if they really want to lean in on the terminology here, we need to have categories of polar vortex. It needs to be a Category 3 polar vortex. How, as a savvy consumer of news media, am I supposed to evaluate the level of terror I'm supposed to have if I don't know. Because, I mean, if it's a level 4, I'm freaking out. But a level 2, I'm like, eh, no big deal.
Listen on air at 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. News Radio 92.3. WNRP Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.